Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Stand back. There's a hurricane coming through.
Paul Kuharsky with us here on the program from PaulKuharsky.com, brought to you by A Moment's Peace Salon and Day Spa. We'll have a gift card, a $50 A Moment's Peace gift card to give away later in the program.
Because I'm peaceful.
Very peaceful. Many people making that observation last week that PK, brought to you by A Moment's Peace Salon and Day Spa.
I can't think of a better pairing of personality and product.
Very fitting. I live near there. And I've been there for massages myself.
Very nice. Very nice. You too may get
Kip
there.
Kip Dotson, great guy.
At the end of this hour, we'll have a gift card to give away. So make sure you're tuned in for that. So on the secondary front, Titans signed Jamal Adams. Jamal Adams has not been on the field very much in training camp at this point. As we talked about previously, a lot of injuries for Jamal Adams over the course of the last 3 years in the league for him. Quandre Diggs, now signed by the Titans as well, so taking a lot of the former Seattle Seahawks secondary and now placing them here in Tennessee. What do you make of the Diggs move, and what do you make now of the what I would assume to be the complete picture of the revamped secondary with Diggs, Adams, and, of course, the moves at corner that we've discussed ad nauseum in the offseason?
Well, they've got options like crazy in terms of sub-packages. You know, we're tracking in the press box who's on the field defensively, you know, and usually I just make a note, you know, base, nickel, dime. We're going to have a harder time with that now, Joe, as to who's on the field. I think game by game packages, I think maybe it'll be, we'll say, okay, they're by the end of the first quarter, we'll say, okay, they're doing this, this, and this. But I think it may be more complicated. If you're thinking, you know, Roger McCreary is going to get the most snaps at nickel, obviously, but this cuts into his playing time because there's going to be a big nickel with Adams, and there's going to be, you know, dime with three safeties for sure. And Molden's going to factor in some way, shape, or form. And so there are a lot of varieties of secondary personnel deployment to come. Now, you know, I think we all think there are some reasonably attractive edges out there, considering that they're going to be without Key for a while. But even with Key on the roster, they're not deep enough at edge. Now they're exceedingly deep at safety and pretty good at corner, we all think. So I just wonder a little bit, you know, you look at Vrabel and Shane Bowen and you wonder, well, they were just content with like, okay, we're going to rush from up front and we'll make it work with whatever corners we have. Not that they were bringing in a ton of rushers, but what was their roster focus? Now you look at Denard and say, well, he's all about back end. And if they're serving the coordinator, they're bringing in Jamal Adams very close to Quandre Diggs, and clearly they want to do what I'm talking about with all kinds of pieces and packages and everything, and their personnel focus. Clearly they think better people are out there in the secondary than are up front, and they're going to make things work with this secondary stuff, and they're not as worried about edge and pass rush, or maybe they judge that field just not to be any good.
Yeah, I think it's kind of early to make that judgment, but it's an interesting thought. I mean, I think their depth at corner now is like really good. Well, especially if you, because I kind of am buying Gabe Judy-Lally.
I am too.
And Trey Avery's okay. I mean, Brownlee as a fourth quarter is pretty good.
You mentioned Gabe Judy-Lally is good. Avery is, you know, at the proper position in the rotation, fine. And, you know, I don't think Garrard is terrible either. You know, now they're very back end guys. Robert Javier is, you know, maybe as bad as anybody on the defense. Tay Gowan, not very good. The last two corners.
Yeah, I mean, but, everybody has
right, yeah. But,
back of roster
but,
guys.
I mean, they've got some serious depth at corner and now at safety. You know, you want to talk about a position they're fine at. If somebody twists an ankle and is out for a little while, should be there.
Do you think Diggs is clearly the just gonna be Diggs Hooker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. I think Diggs is a better version, and this comes from Blake Bedingfield, said Diggs is a better version of Molden.
Yeah, it's just the age thing, right? I mean, that's the question. But his durability has been amazing.
How often do you guys think we could see packages with three safeties?
I think a lot. You know, and it also depends. You know, if I'm playing the Titans and I have the personnel to do it, I'd want to keep them out of that, I think, because the Titans want to be in it, right?
Yeah, but I mean, we'll see with Adams, right?
Yeah,
I mean, a lot about
Adams.
Because I don't like the idea of, and I understand what we've seen, the big nickel thing, and I get it, but also, like, I don't like the idea of McCreary off the field much at all. I'd want McCreary on the field as much as I can have McCreary off the field. He's a good football player, but... If Adams is really effective in that.
If you're talking dime, you got both of them on the field.
Yeah, would he be off the field or would one of the linebackers
be
off?
Some things that I may or may not have seen at some point.
Well, Gibbons is first off the field.
But some early down.
And then Sebastian Joseph Day is next.
I think there's
an
early down thing, if I'm not mistaken, where it could potentially be Adams instead of the nickel, right?
Yeah, a big nickel.
So that's McCreary off the field.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that depends on –
I don't like McCreary off the field.
Well, it depends on who's in the slot. You know, you have a big, giant tight end in the slot, then it's a reasonable change. You know, if you have Tyreek Hill in the slot, you don't want Adams on that.
Yeah, that'd be quite a matchup.
Are we concerned about – I mean, I have not seen where Jamal Adams is injured. He hadn't been on the field. Maybe this is their plan, but are we concerned that he's not been on the field all that much?
Well, this is their plan. You either have faith in this thing where, L'Jarius Simmons and Jamal Adams, who is a lesser piece of things, are on a management program, or you don't. I mean, you don't have choice.
You sure, though, that Adams is just totally pre-planned at this point? Because it's –
I don't know. The way Callahan talked about it the other day, just said he's out. I don't know that he doesn't have anything. I hope he's
something
out there, because I'm working on something where I really need to talk to him. So please practice one of the next 2 days, because I really need to talk to you.
Please, Jamal.
Get on the field.
Yeah. They do. I mean, the Snead thing is, to me, it's like, he's a corner. I feel like with Jamal Adams, though, you probably want him out there a little bit to work into some of the different things they want to use him in. And if he's not at all, I don't know.
Here's another thing about Diggs that I think maybe hasn't been talked about to the degree in this initial round of conversation. And I'm sure we're going to end up talking to Diggs today. Here's a quote from Tyler Lockett. This was in Mike Herndon's piece that I'll be retweeting again this morning. Tyler Lockett said, "He's the person who keeps everything intact. He's the person who makes sure that everyone is fulfilling their role at a high level. Condre Diggs is the backbone of the Seahawks." I've been talking about leadership void on defense, about too much being asked of Jeffrey Simmons, about Jeffrey Simmons being anointed rather than it happening naturally. If Condre Diggs comes in and is that for the Titans, earns that in short order with the Titans, there's an answer to the defensive leadership void. You expect him to be healthy. You expect him to be out there. And there's your Kevin Byard.
I was going to say, Byard-like replacement kind of thing.
That's big.
And Kenneth Murray also showing some leadership.
I mean, when L'Jarius Snead says he's our leader, kind of not asked a leadership question, just asked a Murray question. I thought that was very striking.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Take your questions for Paul Kuharsky on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com with us, talking all things Tennessee Titans. Taking your thoughts as
Here we go with the microphone, Nick. Call maintenance.
He put it in the right place and said, "Don't touch it, PK."
He didn't tell
you had to touch it.
He didn't tell me that.
He told us that. It's in the right spot.
You didn't tell anyone. I need to be able to touch the microphone periodically.
Why?
I mean, I touch it a lot, too. Just move it around a little bit, man.
It's right here. Good. We're good. Right?
I mean, have you Why never you, been in there?
I must touch
radio
the microphone
before?
Periodically. It's weird.
I move this one all the time.
Well, okay, but yours doesn't have
I
issues.
Move it.
Yours has
issues. I'm
talking
to you over here. I'm talking to him over there.
Move your face.
Oh, man.
Move your mouth. You run it enough. Oh!
Oh! Burn. Sick.
Hostile.
Jeez.
Hostile.
Well, you just told us you have to leave us.
That is true. PK, what have you made of the camp that Will Levis has had to this point?
I think he's been fine. I think he's been stressed quite a bit by a defense that, you know, Brian Callahan keeps saying that Denard Wilson is throwing new stuff at them daily, a new blitz at them daily. You know, they don't know what's coming in terms of that. I asked him if there's value in the ones going against the twos at some point, and he said there is, and they may do that. I'd be curious to see that in both directions at some point. I don't know if we will see it. Sounded like Callahan didn't know if we will see it. But, you know, I think he's been relatively steady, gradually improving all of the things that you would expect. The one thing that surprised me a little bit is that he hasn't yet calibrated with Calvin Ridley on deep stuff. What do you think about that, Joe?
Yeah, we're talking about that the other day. I think that's why camp's important. So they obviously aren't totally synced up right now, but I would think that a few more weeks of work would help, right?
I mean, I wouldn't think it would take this long. Not that there's cause to panic yet or whatever, but I would think you'd a guy with his arm would figure out. You know, Callahan said it's one more rotation or cycle for Ridley, and we haven't seen great connections between them deep yet, which is going to be a big key for this football team, obviously, on the big play meter. So looking forward to seeing them get better at that, which is a necessary ingredient.
I got a text that says, what am I missing here with Brunskill? He wasn't the issue last year on the offensive line at right guard, and he's going to have more help this year with Cushenberry as well.
Yeah, he's not, you know, somebody texted in or called in about it before. He's not as much of a people mover, and they're looking for more of that. He doesn't
more gap scheme.
He's not as big of a big physically as Callahan. Bill Callahan generally likes his guards, and so changed regime likes different kind of guys than Brunskill is, and so they've looked for something different. And Charles was something different. Raiden's is maybe a little bit more towards that as well.
If Hopkins can't go against Chicago, how do you think they go about handling that rotation? Is it as simple as Burks is on the outside? Is it a combo of Burks and WI? Do they move Boyd? How do you think
I think it's just Burks in Hopkins' slot. And as fit as he is now, I would think he gets – you know, as long as he's doing okay, gets the predominant amount of those snaps. Now, they're going to game plan based on what they see the Bears have and what they anticipate from the Bears and all of that. So they'll be game planning for Burks' strength as opposed to for Hopkins' strength. But I think it'd be pretty much a straight one-for-one.
So you're just going to dismiss NWI?
Well, I mean, I think there's a game plan for NWI's 12 snaps or 8 snaps or whatever his snaps are, and then he comes in if somebody gets dinged or is tired from running a deep route or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, you may be right. I still think Burks has to make that happen, has to command that.
Well, I think
right?
he's in the process of commanding that.
Okay.
I do.
By the way, Brunskill and Raiden's are the same size. I mean, I heard what you said, but just, I mean, in terms of their listing on the roster, it's like 6'5", 300, 6'6", 301. So.
Do you.
It does seem like Raiden's
about
is a
them,
more.
Don't you think of Raiden's as
yeah,
bigger?
As a more physical presence,
yeah.
I would agree. But I kind of agree with the texture. I feel like this week, I think you have to rep Brunskill at guard, don't you?
Well, I think he becomes a number 2 right guard. Yeah.
Yeah. But you're okay with Raiden's from what you've seen so far?
That would be my that'd be what I'd do.
I didn't ask that. Are you okay with Raiden's from what you've seen so far?
Yeah.
Okay.
I am. I have more faith in Dylan Raiden's than I have had at any point since we saw he couldn't handle what they drafted him to do.
He's better at guard.
Is there anybody that's...
People smarter than me believe that he's better at guard. Two regimes worth of people decided that.
Yeah. Is there anybody out there at edge rusher that you feel like at this point is worth the Titans taking a flyer on?
Yeah, I think Carl Lawson is definitely intriguing to me if he's healthy, and it seems he's healthy enough to go get looked at. He went to Dallas to get looked at. So, I think they should take a look at him. But to this point, they've chosen not to take a look at him. So, I mean, it was concerning to me when Denard said, you know, we can roll with what we've got.
Yeah. But don't coaches kind of default to that? Coaches say that's coach speak, isn't it?
I hope. And backing your guys and giving them a rallying cry. But particularly those back end guys, Thomas Rush, Caleb Murphy. Have you noticed them? No.
I mean, Jalen Harrell is immediately getting significant reps. So I think that tells you a little bit about those other guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So you've got Weaver and Harrell and the new guy, Ray. Those are your depth guys. And one of them is shooting up when Key is out. That's not enough. And none of those guys are well-rounded enough to be a three-down guy.
So you actually think this might be philosophical with Denard Wilson?
No, it started to creep into my mind. I wonder.
Yeah, because they have to know. They have to know that, like, you have to have more, right? Like right now, if I had to bet, I bet that is an edge player is their first round draft pick next year.
Even if their philosophy is being more reliant on the back end than maybe we're used to around here, like you still have to look at this roster, I would think, and realize that you're just not good enough, not deep enough. And even if that's your philosophy, you're not deep enough right now.
And even if that's your philosophy, everybody knows you've got to start with the rush, right? Yeah. Up front, you know, inside out. Now, maybe they're really, really banking on the inside rush with Simmons and Sweat.
Well, they are. But then if you have someone else good across from Landry with those guys, you got some stuff going on, right?
Yes. They're one guy short, but plus depth short. You know?
Right.
One guy short, you bring that guy in, and then Landry or that guy or Sweat or Simmons twists an ankle, and then you're right where you are right now.
Speaking of edge, someone on the text asking about the Arden Key thing, it's going to be ass until the NFL announces. Any sense on that?
Don't know. It's always been a very super delicate thing, the PED things. The Danico Autry one hasn't been announced yet either.
Doesn't mean anything.
These things never get. I mean, when's the last time a player won back some kind of
gambling? They do like Petit Frere,
but
last
on a
year,
PED thing, it never happened.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, if you're hoping that it means Arden Key is going to get suspended for like three games instead of six, it's not going to happen. Yeah. He's going to be suspended six games.
Anything can happen, but history shows that that guys don't make gains. I mean, it's a hard and fast policy, and we've heard guys, you know, make the case for themselves on all kinds of things, whether we believe them or not, and the league's never gone, oh, okay, you ate bad meat in Mexico, we take it back, or anything like that, and we haven't heard from Arden on it. And we won't. I think it's pretty clear, at least until it becomes official.
How encouraged are you by what you've seen from Tavondre Sweat to this point?
Very good. Very good. He's very difficult to block. And, Callahan said the other day, he's everything so far that I envisioned. That's a heck of an endorsement right there. So just needs to keep it going. Very anxious to see. He's one of the guys you're going to have your eyes on in a big way at Nissan Stadium on Saturday evening. And he and Simmons together are a giant key to this whole deal, and nothing's changing there.
Why didn't the why didn't the Titans fire their medical staff after last year? Can you answer for that?
Because the medical staff does rehab, not injury prevention stuff on the front end. By the way,
however, you're wrong on trainer though. When I hear the word trainer, that is to me that's the medical person. Go see the trainer. Right?
Go see the
You were trying to say that trainer means like the strength staff.
I just thought you could have been more specific, and you agreed with me. We don't need to relitigate.
But then I thought later, I was like, no, actually PK was wrong. So I want to make sure I correct that.
I don't want to be, you know, and I've been critical of Vrabel and written a lot of stuff about how things have changed under Vrabel, but you've got a calf strain, a knee strain, and a guy who's quit all in the first 2 weeks of camp. If this had happened under Mike Vrabel, there would be a monstrous uproar. So just, you know that you're in a honeymoon phase. And consider the context of how you react to things depending on where a guy is and how much you like him.
Yeah. PK, thanks for taking time to be with us. Have fun out at Titans practice today.
Good. Always good to be with you. Don't block the box out there, but be sure to lock your locks.
We'll take your thoughts on what PK had to say. More of your thoughts on the Titans coming up next. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Appreciate Paul Kuharski for being with us from paulkuharski.com. And I threw it out there earlier. It's now time to give away a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa gift card, a $50 gift card to a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa. To caller number 5, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. They will win a $50 gift card to a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa. Rex Road totally destroying PK's microphone.
It was in the way. God, this thing is a mess. What are you going to do about this, Keezer? I've seen him fix it before.
Keezer, we've been waiting on you to fix this microphone for weeks.
He had it. He had it in good position. Then PK had to touch the mic. Got to touch the microphone every once in a while. Just talk.
Hey, I just said it would work there. I did not tell him directly, but I thought he would figure it out. But that's okay.
Yeah. No, he needs to be spoon-fed everything.
Appreciate him for taking time to be with us.
Thanks, PK. Thanks for being with us.
PK taking off. Brian Callahan speaking at the top of the hour. What'd you call it, a fireside chat with Brian Callahan?
Well, it's a cool thing he's doing. He did it Saturday for the first time, so I went to that one. But it's basically a non-TV, non-video session, but it's still on the record. So, yeah. Like Vrabel, for a while, we were trying to figure out how long. It wasn't too long, but for a while he would do the presser and then he would stand over to the side and the writers would gather around him and do, you know. Because, look, the writers need more stuff. I mean, TV people, no insult at all to them. But, they need quick sound bites.
Right.
And they have short, typically, sportscasts. And, obviously, writers need all kinds of words and, you know, be all flowery with their words and whatnot. So,
those needy writers.
Yeah, exactly. But, so, he's doing another one of those today, which I regret telling PK about it because he didn't even realize, and he would have stayed in there like, oh, I gotta go, sorry. So, you know, it's my fault.
See you guys.
I blew it on the show. I was actually gonna let PK do the rant today, but he's out of here. But yeah, it's a good thing. There was a lot of interesting stuff from when Callahan did it the first time, including the Easton Freeze question on what the F does in his offense, which is a great interesting little answer about the little insight on the offense and how they label things.
Yeah, so PK doesn't seem to think that there's going to be much of a competition at the right guard spot, that, you know, Dylan Radins is there. They've kind of identified Brunskill as the backup center. Not that you can't be a guard and a center, but feels like this is Radins' job basically to lose at this point.
Yeah, I think they'd like him to be the clear best guy. And then, you know, a lot of times what happens with NFL offensive lines is the good ones, you'll look and it's like, yep, you know, four of those five guys were high picks. What, you know, if Radins and Petit Frere make it, you're going to have a first rounder at left tackle, a first rounder at left guard, a second rounder at right guard, a third rounder at right tackle. What was Cushenberry? I don't remember Cushenberry off the top of my head, but again, you know, that's kind of what you end up wanting to have, although it's a very roundabout way that it would have come about on the right side, and I'm still not.
He's third rounder.
Okay, so there you go. And that's, you know, a 1-1, 3-2-3. That sounds good.
Yeah.
You know, but are those guys ready for that to really solidify themselves? Again, I think it's been mostly encouraging with Petit Frere, especially as early as it is and how long he was out. So that's good, and you know, we'll see with Raiden. So if they can get going with this five and keep it together, then I think they can get better. I would just think that Brunskill getting more reps at right guard would make sense right now.
Jimmy Wyatt putting it out there that Diggs going to be wearing number 26 with the Titans. I would assume we'll probably hear from him at some point today relates to his media availability. You know, we brought it up, PK. I'm really interested to see how they deploy their looks in the secondary. Are we going to see a lot of three safety looks out there? You know, is it going to be straight up Diggs and Hooker as your starting safeties combo out there? How often is Molden on the field? Like, it's going to be really interesting to see the way they deploy these guys, even at corner too, right? Like, Awuzie, McCreary, and Snead, if those three guys are healthy, that's what you feel good about. But they do have some pretty decent depth in both spots now.
I'll go mild hot take and not buy into the idea that Diggs just walks in here and starts and just bumps Molden down. I think that can be a competition. And that's just not having seen – I mean, I've seen Diggs play in the league. He's a good player. He's been a good player for a long time. He's 31 years old. So I'm going to leave open the idea that Molden, with the head start he has, healthy right now, young, I think he's a good football player, that he has a chance. But either way, as PK said, there is depth in where there wasn't before. So they have definitely addressed that position well. Still need to do it on the edge, and then can they do it on the offensive line? I mean, I think there'll be some kind of pickup, but I just wouldn't get your hopes up. Maddie had a question here on the Cushenberry versus Sweat rep that was talked about. Is that more of a testament to Sweat being a beast or trouble for Cush? That's always a question, right?
Yeah.
Whenever you have somebody one side or one player beats the other, okay, so who's is that because that player's good? Arden Key last year, Andre Dillard, classic example. Let me tell you something. Devondre Sweat is going to blow some people up this year. And the question to me is what kind of shape, what kind of endurance, what the snap count situation, all those things. But he is absolutely a beast. I mean, make no mistake about it. The guy's listed at 366. Some people think he was in the 380s last year at Texas. If you watched him play at Texas last year, he wasn't just some big blob leaning on people. He was making plays. So he's a beast. Cushenberry also has gotten in some wins of his own. It's not like it's just a constant ole to the quarterback. He's in there working against Sweat and Simmons. I mean,
well,
talk about a guy who's – I'm sure he's having a heck of a fun few weeks here.
Again.
Yeah, it's a good look.
You know, we've talked about Simmons, and I think there needs to be a sustained higher level of play from him this year than we've seen the last couple of years, and injuries certainly have been a part of that. So hopefully he can stay healthy this year. You know, I'm not ready yet, and I'm not saying that you or anybody else is. I'm not ready to anoint Sweat yet, but if it continues to trend this way and he makes plays in the regular season like he is in camp right now, well, then that could be maybe the story of the defense that we're talking about all year, is just the absolute problem that Simmons and Sweat up the middle are causing for other teams. And maybe that does help you overcome a weakness on the edge to some degree. I don't know if it's going to totally overcome it, but if you're that dominant up the middle, which you're hoping that duo has the potential to be, maybe that does help you overcome some deficiencies on the edge that point.
If they're what they hope they are, what they envisioned when they drafted Sweat, when some people called it a reach, if they are a tandem they hope, and then you have Landry full go, that's where a guy like Arden Key is good enough to, like, take advantage,
yep,
right? Or should be good enough to take advantage. Unfortunately for the Titans, he's missing the first six games. But, yeah, if you have someone on the other, you don't have to have a star at the other outside spot to have a guy who you would think would have a real shot to make some plays in the backfield.
Andrew on the text line says, how would Sweat versus Brewer have turned out? Haha. Brewer taking some shots.
Just destroy him. He's just falling on him, and then all of a sudden it would be like Brewer would have like gone underground, and they'd have to put a search party out for him.
A meerkat. He's just gone. Is it safe to come up? Is Tavondre gone?
It's hard to have a 73-pound center.
If you're wondering how that matchup will go, you're going to see it later this year.
That's a good point.
Right?
Yeah.
Get a little Miami Titans action. Tavondre Sweat taking on Aaron Brewer. You could see it firsthand.
Yeah, Tavondre Sweat better have about 17 TFLs in that game, per the analysis of this station.
Yeah. Look, we've talked about this before. A lot of teams want to double Jeffrey Simmons, obviously so. Like, if Sweat gets to the point where he forces offenses to really have no choice but to double him, what does that mean for Simmons? Like, what can that do for Jeffrey Simmons just in term purely of his production this year? That's going to be an interesting thing to monitor, too.
He needs to take advantage because I think you're going to have to do it. I think you're going to have to do it, these teams. If he's what I'm watching right now, I think you just have to automatically do it. And then you have to sort of figure out what you're going to do with Simmons. But I think he's going to have some good opportunities out of that for sure. So he needs to take advantage. Texter, do we see Rashad Weaver stepping up and replacing McKee? Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to start.
Yeah.
And he has lost weight. He's talked about it. He likes the scheme. So, yeah, I mean, that's another guy. I mean, he certainly has made some plays. Can he be more consistent? Does the slim down help him significantly?
How good's he going
to be? Great opportunity for him.
Big opportunity. And, yes, he's going to be the guy, I think, filling the role. Now, what does that mean? I'm not saying he's like a major liability over there, but are you making plays? Now, if Sweat and Landry and Simmons are what they hope they are, like, how much can – I don't want to say just run into it, but, like, how much can basically, you know, he'd be playing a cleanup role out there of, all right, I got chased right off my spot by Sweat and Simmons, and there's Rashad Weaver just waiting on me right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and also, look, I mean, Denard Wilson is going to – whether it's blitz a lot, it's blitz creatively and come from a lot of different spots. And when you have corners like this – you know, that's where you could see how this defense could be effective. You know, with what they have in the secondary, when those guys are all out on the field, that should buy you more time, and then you can be creative and aggressive with your pressures too. So, I'm just it's consistent with me that like I see the pathway to a good defense easier right now than I do on offense.
Got the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, you're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rexroad.
I am Ron Burgundy. I read the prompter.
Go bleep yourself, Nashville. Lord, I've seen what you've done, and I want the same for me. Please, swing at me, Jeff. Swing at me.
Robbie Rexroad, man. Let's go get it. Let's get some, baby.
Yes, sir. It is that time of the day, the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program. Joe Rexroad's Rant of the Day. Keys are making new mashups every day. I like that one. That was good.
We say enough dumb crap on a daily basis for you to just – you just eat. You just eat over there. You stay fed.
File.
Yeah. That thing's overflowing by now. Don't – just remember, we cannot get rid of a nine-minute run when it was actually like a minute.
Which, a nine-minute run.
Thank you. So, who brought up Aaron Brewer?
Some texter.
So, I made a little joke.
It was Andrew.
I did not reference Stilly. I got one of Stilly's little minions. Stillman lives in Joe's head rent-free. I said, I didn't bring up Brewer, champ. He said, the point stands, Buster.
Ooh, Buster.
Why don't you shut up, Chief?
Buster.
I didn't bring this up, and I didn't even bring him up.
We need more use of Buster.
Yeah, we like to make fun of the exaggeration of Aaron Brewer's smallness, okay?
Tavondre Sweat is 480 pounds, and Aaron Brewer is a buck 90.
Yeah, so I guess still he lives in your head rent-free.
Sure.
I want to say a quick word. I think it's sometimes things get so blown up on social media, even just saying that, is exhausting. But I think that's happened plenty. But I do want to point this out because, first of all, I can't talk enough about Simone Biles, the GOAT athlete. Simone Biles, the GOAT American athlete, who has had another incredible Olympics, better than I would have expected. She's 27 years old. She, in the floor exercise, warming up, she sustained another injury, this to her calf.
Yes.
So she's had the foot and the calf. So they wrapped it, and it threw her off, and she went out of bounds a little bit. So, long story short, if you didn't see it, I hope you've been watching Simone Biles and as much Olympics as possible. But she got the silver, and Andrade from Brazil, who is an incredible story, who had three ACLs in 4 years, got the gold. And so you had this, I think it's the coolest scene of the Olympics so far, in my humble opinion. You had Biles and Childs, who won the bronze for the U.S., they kind of like bowing to Andrade as she got the gold. Again, Biles was the favorite to win the gold. Andrade won the gold. And Marlon Humphrey tweeted, "This is literally disgusting." And I'm just like,
"Is it the Ravens' corner?"
Yes. Okay. I'm actually pleasantly surprised you didn't see this, because I'm like, what? And he's been cooked, and he has actually said, he's like, "I'm getting screamed at. I'm Brazilian on Instagram. LOL." But like, really, you should feel bad, man. Like, you should feel bad about that. Like, sportsmanship should be a big part of the Olympics. Really, should be a big part of sports.
Yeah.
Like, I'm all for rivalries and stuff. I was talking with a friend the other day. If you're of a certain age, you remember the Olympics, like the medal count used to be so important. It was always U.S., USSR. It was the Cold War. And, of course, they both boycotted the Olympics, and it was like, we have got to beat the Russians in the medal count, And obviously, the medal count still flashed up there, but I just don't think it's like that anymore. And I think I love seeing, athletes support each other. Yeah, you have rivalries. And you have intense competition and all that stuff. But I thought that was a great scene and a great thing for kids to see. And he called it literally disgusting. Literally disgusting that people showed sportsmanship.
That gets into your literally conversation.
Yeah, exactly. So, Marlon, did you actually vomit? How literal is the disgust? Yeah, so anyway, I wanted to quickly cook him for that, but he's been, hopefully, I don't know, I haven't seen if he's apologized. Hopefully he's apologized. That's just stupid, man. That was great. That was a great scene. That was one of my favorite pictures and images of the Olympic Games so far. And further cements Simone Biles as the GOAT American athlete. Thank you.
Hey, Brady, was there this nice still shot of Brady watching Simone Biles
thing,
and he's just, wow.
Right. Woo. And it's like, great, Tom Brady's here, so now we get to see a cutaway to him after every other thing that happens. Thank goodness.
Yeah, hey,
you got me.
He probably should be. Shouldn't he be watching some film, preparing for his day job coming up?
Yeah.
What are you doing, Tom?
I'm expecting big things from him. Someone says Scottie Scheffler on the podium, number one moment. That's a great one, too, no doubt. No, that was awesome. Scottie Scheffler getting emotional, winning the gold, for sure. So, yeah, lots of great stuff in
these
Olympics.
To our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, Bruce. Bruce, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Joe, I got to tell you, you got the wrong goat. I love Simone Biles. She's an excellent athlete. But what Katie Ledecky has done is unbelievable. In the 1500, not only does she have the world record, she is the 21 fastest swims of all time.
Yep.
That is a level of domination that not even Simone Biles can match. Sorry.
Yep, thanks for the call, Bruce. I did see that graphic. I did see that graphic.
Kayla Decky is in the discussion, man. No doubt.
Talking about the 1500, he's right. Like, the top 21 times, it's just like, Ledecky, 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 Ledecky. It's like, wow. That's pretty incredible.
No,
she gets done with her race, and she's just like sitting there waiting on the rest of the swimmers to come back.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you had the one where it's like, oh, we have to show the wider view because Ledecky. Yeah. Now, listen, I have nothing. That's the thing. Like, declaring one person the GOAT is not diminishing anybody else. She's amazing. Now, Brian, at the same time Bruce called, says, Katie Ledecky's the GOAT. She never quit on her team. Shut up.
Is that in reference to the last Olympics?
Right, when she got the, what the heck ever they're called, the twisties.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine trying to do that sport and not getting the twisties. That's literally impossible. No, but my whole thing, Bruce, as I've said it before, again, I mean, Ledecky is an all-time, it's incredible. It's the difficulty of this sport that we're talking about. So we can all swim, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
gymnastics, just not very well.
Wow. Yeah, but I mean, you can still like do, like I could look like I could do the stroke that Katie Ledecky does. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
99.99999% of the humans cannot do what these athletes do. So I already put them in a different category. That's me. That's my opinion. Take it or leave it.
You lose me on that a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Go get on that balance beam then, Chief.
Go get on skates and skate at a very high pace and play hockey. You could make that argument about a lot of different things.
Sure. There's a lot of things that you can't, that other people can't do well.
Right.
Anybody can learn how to skate. Can anybody get on a balance beam and do it?
You can get on a balance beam.
And
it
flip?
Just may not go well.
Yeah. All right. You will die. Yeah. I won't die skating. I will maybe injure myself.
You won't die on a balance beam either.
Trying to flip?
Yes. You'll be fine.
Okay.
May hurt a little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
Scotty Scheffler. Dylan says, Scotty Scheffler, the oldest looking 28-year-old of all time.
Yeah.
Is that the case?
Well, he doesn't look 28. But he's had a tough year. You know, he's just got out of the pen.
That great meme going around the other day when he's, you know, the still shot of him crying on the Olympic podium. It's like, from convict to Olympic champion in 1 year.
Exactly.
Really, like 4 months. Has it even been that long? Like 3 months.
Yeah, it's been quite a run. Why is Kaharsky texting? Is that really Kaharsky? He says, mental gymnastics by Joe. Shut up. Everybody shut up. That's my rant.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll get into a little NFL talk coming up next, including Brandon Ayuk giving the stiff arm, apparently, to one NFL team. We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.